everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is part two of our two-part interview with Dr. Manish Shah. If you have not listened to part one, you will definitely want to go back and listen to that first before you listen to this episode. I promise you everything will make a lot more sense. What's your take on some of the stuff that's coming out there about anti-aging in a jar?
You know, there's a product that's ubiquitous in most of these both medical grade and consumer grade products. It's called hyaluronic acid. So anybody who, in your audience who's ever had filler injections to their lips or to, you know, their cheeks or their jawline, they're getting hyaluronic acid injected. Hyaluronic acid is a protein inside our joint spaces. It gets made in the lab sterilely, and it can be packaged in a number of forms depending on its cross-linking. So the form that happens to be inside most of these products loves water. So when you put it on your skin and it absorbs transcutaneously, what do you think it's pulling in? It's pulling in water. That's why you get tight. That's why you get the sense of lifting, because you're getting microscopic expansion of the skin, and it's going to feel taut. The problem is just as easily as it goes in, over a few hours, it goes away. So it's a temporizing effect, and it's not making collagen. The only way you get volume in your face is basically in three areas: good bone stock and avoiding early loss, fat volume in your face, and collagen in the skin. They're the only things that are actually fluffy that cause angles and volume and shape. And when you're aging, each one of those things is aging in a different way. Obviously, one of the biggest reasons people will come in who have maintained their body weight all their lives is that they're genetically losing good collagen and replacing it with bad collagen. It doesn't have the support, the skin is thinning, and they get the fine lines and wrinkles, and they get the furrows and the folds. The other option is they've lost a bunch of weight, but they're young. And all that weight loss, their skin cannot tighten up fast enough to go with it. And then they start seeing the fine lines and wrinkles and the folds. Less common, especially with younger people. But if you're older and losing weight, that's the worst thing. In fact, I tell everybody, if you're over 50, try not to lose weight. Seriously, because you look older when you're gaunt looking, i.e. thin. True. Than you do if you have an extra 10 pounds on board. And honestly, it's a much happier lifestyle to have a few extra pounds on, especially with recent longevity data about being thin versus being slightly overweight, favoring being slightly overweight. Bone stock, you know, the biggest thing for women is like they will maintain the bone stock in their face up until their late 40s, early 50s. And then when that hormone cascade turns off, that perimenopausal, premenopausal to menopausal shift, it's within 2 to 5 years after that, they come in going, "What happened to my face, Dr. Shah?" I go, "Well, you have, your skull has shrunk and now your skin can't keep up with it because it's not strong skin anymore." Mm-hmm. So in those situations, I would tell you, if I could have had them 30 years earlier, I would have said, make sure you invest in a good dentist, floss your teeth, and take good calcium supplementation that's healthy for you, and keep chewing. In our modern diets of sport drinks and protein shakes, we're doing much less chewing than we ever have beforehand. bone in the face stays strong when you chew and make your teeth contact. And so I would recommend chewing to stay young looking.
Interesting. I never would have thought of that. Everything you said makes sense. And I do want to second what Dr. Manish was saying, because when I started to notice that I didn't like what I was seeing in the mirror, I mean, I heard people talking about getting skin procedures and facials and Botox. And there were things that I wanted to get. The truth is, I really didn't look in the mirror until about 48. And it was that was last year. And I did, I think it was predicated by fat loss, because I was in the midst of, not only hormonal imbalance, but, you know, moving from perimenopause into actual menopause. And then I started to lose weight through my doctor. And when I dropped a really significant amount of fat, I just remember feeling, when I looked in the mirror, just what you said. I felt like I looked gaunt. I felt like I looked very drawn, and then my skin looked dull, and I have a very long oval face anyway. And I just remember going, I wasn't as comfortable being without makeup as I've always been most of my life. And so that's when I started looking into this, some of this stuff. But certainly, like you said, if I would have started earlier, well, hindsight's always 20/20. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of the things that you brought up, I do want to address. You talked about how to get volume in the face, and you talked about collagen. A lot of these over-the-counter products, whether they're drugstore or whether it's in a network marketing company or whether you buy it at the, you know, high-end department store, we see a lot where they say this will stimulate collagen. Can something that is over-the-counter that you apply topically, can that stimulate collagen growth, or is that BS?
Yes, it can. The only way it will stimulate collagen in an over-the-counter product is if it has a retinol in it, because that's actually one of the biological effects of a retinol or a Retin A product. So if you've got enough retinol in there that can get penetrated through to the skin before its natural destruction cycle, you will get improved collagen content. It's just that the retinol concentrations in over-the-counter products are low, so just assume it's a long, slow process. But definitely, over-the-counter products with retinols in them will help you improve your collagen.
You know, and that made a good point, because I did want to ask that about, you mentioned Retin A being one of your top three tips. With the folks that have never used it, I have familiarity with using Retin A because of going to a dermatologist for acne when I was in my late high school and early college years. And then I did have doctors when I started to have hormonal imbalance later in life. And one of the things that presented was skin issues. I got bumps on my neck and my arms and my upper chest, and they put me on, of course, a whole slew of drugs, but they also gave me Retin A. And so I'm familiar with it, but there's a lot of folks that aren't. Is that strictly available still only by a doctor's prescription?
True Retin A, yes, it is. You have to either get a prescription through your pharmacy, or it has to be distributed through dermatologists, facial plastics, plastic surgeon's office as an actual Retin A, but the manufactured Retin A really comes from a pharmacy. The rest of us all have variants of high-end, high-intensity retinols in our practices.
Okay. Would you say, if it's going to be used for cosmetic purposes, would a regular prescription, I mean, I think it's not typically covered by insurance, but isn't it about, $100 to $150?
It is typically. So you're out of pocket on it. It's very reasonable.
Yeah.
It's not allowed by the FDA. It's not really allowed by customs, but people will go to Mexico and get it for a lot less. But they could get it confiscated if it gets seen, in their scans as they come back to the United States. So we recommend people not doing that. We don't know what stuff outside of the country is like. We don't even know if it's counterfeit versus not counterfeit. So if you get it from a prescribed U.S. pharmacy, you're guaranteed that it's going to be full strength for the appropriate strength. And there's three basic strengths. But you can get true Retin A, and you know it's going to work very well for you.
And I just have to say, to all of these women that are thinking about going to Mexico or wherever to get cheap plastic surgery, I wouldn't have even thought that somebody would go for a product that costs $100 to $150 to put yourself at risk in so many ways. Just be safe. This is your face. This is your body. put your money where your life is. I can't even comprehend people that think about doing that. I understand this stuff is expensive, but it is absolutely worth it. And I'm an advocate for it. And if ladies, if you're listening and you're not, this is not for you, then, you know, you're just becoming more educated. But if it is for you, I can't speak strongly enough for it. Now, let me ask you this, and then I want to close up because I see that we're hitting kind of our window, and I have a couple of things that I said I wanted to ask you that are trending. Would you say, generally speaking, now that I'm someone who has just started getting some work done, you know, I've had Botox done, I've had my lips done, I've had some, I guess I would say fillers in my cheeks, and I've been very encouraged. You know, most the people that know me, when I went home for Thanksgiving, you know, they didn't know that I'd gotten work done. I didn't walk into my parents' house and they're like, "Oh my God!" You know, it wasn't shocking. I'm pleased with what I've had done. I'm using medical grade skincare. I really like how I feel, and I'm putting money into this. And I feel like I know the difference between. I think if I was just buying skincare topically, I wouldn't be getting the results that I am and feeling good about how I look had I not had some of these other procedures, and I'm planning on having them as well. And again, I'm a strong advocate. I think it's the combination. If you're talking to women that are listening to this show and they're in their late 30s, maybe 40s, they're in perimenopause, menopause, or maybe just experiencing hormonal imbalance, and they're having the saggy skin, they're having the, you know, the loose skin on their neck, they have all of these issues, they feel drawn. Do you agree with me? Am I articulating it accurately that it can't just be skincare, that if you really want to really see remarkable difference in your skin as you age, that it's maybe a combination of some of these elective procedures and great quality skincare and sun protection?
I'm with you 100%, because the reality is when you're aging, you might see one component of it, brown spots, fine lines, wrinkles, but there is a three-dimensionality to facial aging, aging of the body, aging of the muscles, and you can't necessarily turn back time by just doing one thing, like an external process like skincare and sunblock. That will give you improvements and repairs in one component of it. But if you've lost a lot of weight, you do need to add a little bit of volume back. If you've, you know, if you haven't had a lot of good dental care, you need to kind of find ways to slow that down. You maybe get dental implants or something like, I mean, something that's going to protect you. Sometimes these procedures are protective in the fact that they restore a little bit more balance to your face in terms of volume, because you may notice that you're really losing a lot of volume around your mouth, but you look super young around your eyes and forehead. And you're like, why am I looking more and more, you know, haggard and old around the mouth, but I'm not around my face? Well, there's asymmetrics to facial aging as well. So I'm a huge fan of like multi-component therapies. And if you do it the right way and you start off young enough and you have a real ethical and resourceful, you know, aesthetic specialist like myself and, you know, my colleagues that I trust in my community, the goal is to get you to come in and stay there, because it's actually better for you than jumping around to people who don't know what they're doing.
Yes.
They're literally looking at the dollars, because, you know, it's funny, in my practice, I make my money with surgery. Okay. My aesthetics practice, that's there as a thank you to my patients. I charge appropriately. I'm not expensive. But what you get for your values are a long-term maintenance of the very expensive surgeries that you bought. You know, it's like you buy a surgery, you buy a Ferrari, you're going to polish the wheels, right? You're going to wash it. You're going to take good care of it. If you buy facial procedures, you're going to more than likely want to take good care of them.
Yes.
So that's the same model, you know, multi-component, aging, take care of all the components.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a really good metaphors help me understand things. And I feel like when people talk about, you know, just buying one moisturizer and they think that's going to fix everything, to me, it's kind of akin to if you have an old house that's starting to fall down and it's weathered a lot of storms and you think a fresh paint job is going to fix everything, as opposed to going, okay, the foundation needs to be rebuilt. The front porch is sagging. Like, that needs to be knocked down and taken off because that roof is going to fall. Like, if you put a paint job on the outside of the house and don't remodel the inside, I mean, it's just incomplete. So I agree with you. And by the way, just for everybody listening, you guys know me. What I said earlier when I asked him that last question, he did not ask me to say that. These are my opinions. This is my experience. He might have corrected me. You know, that's what I feel. And I'm really obviously passionate about getting women to know some options, because I have to tell you, it feels damn good to be 49 years old and go, even my man said to me the other day, he's like, I want to be honest with you. I've looked at, because we met a year ago and I met the love of my life a year ago on a dating site. And he said, I've looked at all of your pictures from when you were younger. And I honestly think, and he was not trying to be hokey or anything. He goes, I think you look the best you've ever looked in your life right now. And I'm 49. Now I have a lot of additional things I want to get done and I'm going to do it. But ladies, please don't think that life is all downhill. If you are interested in getting some work done, I strongly recommend doing some research. Obviously, if you're in the Denver area, I think this is somebody you should be looking up. In fact, you're making me want to come out to Denver and get some work done with you, Dr. Manish, because I love everything you've said here, and I think you're very wise. And again, just to reiterate as well for everybody listening, look and research. Find the right practitioner. There are a lot of frauds out there. There are a lot of people opening up quote unquote med spas that aren't trained, that are giving, you know, Botox. That I see people, my hairstylist saying, oh, she gets her Botox in the mall for like $200. I'm like, is that a doctor? I mean, it's just, please take your face and your body seriously. This is some serious stuff. And Dr. Manish, in a second, I want you to tell people where, if they're in your area, they can come in and see you, and where they can find you online. But in closing, I want to ask you a couple things. I told you that there's some things I see trending quite a lot in the fitness, health, and wellness space. One of them is coconut oil. And I know actually my plastic surgeon lady had written a post about coconut oil, and everybody thought coconut oil was the answer to everything. And I was one of those ladies that was putting coconut oil on my face and my body. And now there's a lot of information coming out, like that's not what you should be doing with coconut oil. Are you an advocate for using coconut oil as a moisturizer, or do you agree with some of the stuff I've been reading recently that it should not be used as a moisturizer?
You know, what's interesting is I am a fan of very natural care. And so nut oils and fruit oils, I'm actually a fan of. I think you need to use them very sparingly.
Okay.
They're obviously something you can eat. And it smells better on your skin than like olive oil and things like that. But I don't have as much of a issue with people using it. I would use it in a very light amount. And if you know anything about acne care, you can actually use coconut oil as part of an oil acne treatment. Have you ever heard of oil acne treatments?
No.
It's actually using oil, which you would think would make you have acne, to actually help decrease your acne. So there are ways you can use oils, because oil dissolves, you know, like dissolves like, right? So oil on your skin is the same as the oil in your pores, not necessarily chemically, but basically biologically, and you can use it. So a light amount of coconut oil should not be a problem on anybody's skin. I mean, I wouldn't use it as the only thing that you do. I'd still make sure you use a sunblock. And a lot of sunblocks are oily enough that honestly, if you just have a really good quality sunblock, you'll get the kind of sealing moisturizing that you would need with the sunblock itself. So I don't have a big issue with coconut. I think I recommend it to patients who want to try it. I mean, I'm in Denver, very natural living out here compared to other parts of the country. So, you know, I'm not going to tell people to do something that they don't believe in. And if it helps them follow along with the other medical things that I want them to do, more power to them.
Good perspective. And really that's, I think the best way for any of us to make choices is, you know, look into a lot of different opinions, do a lot of reading and research, and then come to your own conclusions. Because I firmly believe, and I have found, there's a differing opinion for anything. If I wanted to go find data to back up that coconut oil is bad for you as a topical, you know, moisturizer, I could. And if I wanted to find on the opposite way, or on the opposite argument, I could do that as well. So ultimately, we all have to kind of come to our own conclusions. And I really appreciate that perspective. My next question that I'm seeing a lot about is, well, it's twofold. I see a lot about these two procedures, if you will, that people can do at home: dry brushing and lymphatic massage for the face. What do you feel about those?
I think dry brushing and lymphatic massage kind of work the same basic concept. What the bristles on those dry brushes are doing is you're making a very light contact with the superficial tissues of the face. And that's where the lymph gland, that's where the lymph vessels sit. They're very, very tiny blood vessels. They're clear. You can't see them when you're operating. But what they do is they drain excess fluid out of tissues. So lymphatic massage, if you're feeling kind of puffy, you actually can do lymphatic massage. In fact, we recommend it for every post-operative case. We recommend it for scar massage. We recommend it for getting swelling out after facelifts, neck lifts, rhinoplasties, eyelid surgeries, because it works. But people who haven't had surgery, they may have eaten a little too much salt, maybe not gotten enough sleep. Maybe they're a little dehydrated, or their protein levels are a little low because they're not taking good care of themselves. You know, it's the end of year and they're up getting ready for a big presentation and last thing they do is self-care. You can get swelling in your face and you'd want to get it removed. And those two techniques can help you get it removed pretty easily.
Oh, interesting. Well, that was good. I, like I said, I've heard a lot about that, and I bought a dry brushing like a kit, and I bought one of those jade, you know, face rollers, and I'm sure. Like, is this really doing anything? So, it's just very curious. Well, this was really cool. I think we covered a lot of really good stuff, and you're very, very well spoken, and I certainly appreciate your perspective, and I think we'll definitely have to have you back on the show next year. But for everybody listening, of course, we're going to link up to everything in the show notes. And if you have any questions, you know, I'll share with you how you can contact us. But Dr. Manish, where can people find you online and how can they, I'm sure that will tell folks if they're in your area as well and they're interested in coming to see you, how and where you're located. Tell us where we can find you.
Absolutely. So I'm in a lot of places on the internet. The most common place to find me is on my website, and that's drmanishshaw.com. And then I like social media because I think it's important to be able to educate people. And I do it more for just letting people know about their options in healthcare. It's really not a marketing issue, I think, but it's a good way for me to educate because I like to educate, as you can imagine. So I have an Instagram account that I like to put information on, and that's called The Face Surgeon. And I have a YouTube channel, Shaw Aesthetic Surgery, and I will put in a little bit longer educational pieces on that. I do have my own vlog called Cosmetic Surgery and Coffee, and I like to talk about more significant plastic surgery and non-plastic surgery concepts there. And then, you know, if patients really want to see live surgery, I'm not as good as a lot of those social media gurus out there, but I like to record on Fridays on my Snapchat, which is called Rhinoplasty Jedi. And I do more than rhinoplasty surgeries, but you'll see breast augmentations, tummy tucks. And I'll try to teach and give people a direct bird's eye view of what I'm doing and to understand how these procedures really work. So it's no nonsense. You know, it's obviously not safe for work. I wouldn't necessarily do it work, but it's a good way to learn about what I do. And they can contact me through the website on our Contact Us page.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of my questions too. Is it and I'll link that up, but in other words, you said if it's not safe for work, does that mean that some of these areas you'll be showing actual procedures?
Yeah, on Snapchat I'll show procedures. So and they're not censored. Because I don't, you know, that's how Snapchat allows things to be done. But it's a great place for you to learn about what I did for that day.
It's pretty cool. I mean, I have become, it's been a lot easier for me to take things in I've started to watch a lot more surgical procedures, and I've seen some folks sharing it on Instagram as well. But we will link up to everything in the show notes. Dr. Manish, thank you so much for being on the show. It was certainly a pleasure. As I shared earlier in the show, we are planning on addressing really everything. I want to educate women so that, because I as a consumer know, when you just see a brochure about what can be done, I think it can be incredibly intimidating. And I know what women in our community of all ages are interested in, which is, what's the real truth? What do I need to get done? What does it feel like? How much time do I need to take off? What's the bruising? What's the recovery time? What should I do? Guide me, educate me. So I love that you're dedicated to educating on this. And this has been very informative. For everybody listening, as I mentioned before, we will link up to everything in the show notes on fitfluentialradio.com. If you have any questions on this episode or questions for Dr. Manish, we encourage you to directly communicate with him on his sites or his social media platforms. If you have questions for us on this topic, on beauty, what questions you'd like to see us cover in future episodes, email us podcast@fitfluential.com. You can also use that email if you are interested in sponsoring future episodes. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This was a great episode. We will see you next time on Fitfluential Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning into this two-part interview with Dr. Manish Shah. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And of course, if you have any questions or are in the area where Dr. Manish practices, feel free to reach out to him directly. I strongly recommend it. Obviously, he is brilliant, really knows what he's talking about. I'm looking forward to having him back on the show. If you have questions for me in particular about just this skincare, anti-aging, elective cosmetic procedures topic or category, please don't hesitate to reach out so I can make sure that I cover what you're interested in learning about on the show. You can use my email, kelly@kellyalexa.com. You can use the contact me form on my website, if that's easier, at kellyalexa.com. And again, just let me know, what is it that you'd like to learn more about? Is it injections? Is it peels? Is it vampire facials? You know, what is it that you've heard about that you're interested in, but maybe you're a little bit too intimidated to ask? You're not ready to take that step where you make an appointment? I understand, because before I started getting work done, I didn't even want to make an appointment to go see somebody because I thought it was so out of my price range, which it wasn't. I was so far off on what these things cost. And yet I was very intimidated to ask. So just let me know what questions you have so I can cover that as we start to have more and more experts on the show. As always, I will request, if you haven't done so yet, if you're listening to the show and you're enjoying this, we do put a lot of time and planning and investment into producing this show for you at no cost to you. We'd sincerely appreciate it if you would head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Those reviews help the show get seen and heard by more folks, and it really is the bread and butter of putting a podcast together. So thank you in advance for doing that. And that's it. I will see you guys next time on The Kelly O Show.